Today's gospel is found in Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40 on page 804 in your pew Bible. This is referred to as the greatest commandment. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to them, and said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's great to be back in Fountain Hills. Last weekend, I was getting ready to go to the LCMC National Gathering in St. Charles, Missouri, which is near St. Louis. It was Monday night in St. Charles, and I went to the social hour provided by the hotel, and I was just visiting with people, and then I realized that the people I was with all signed up for the fellowship dinner, which I didn't sign up for, and they all promptly got up and left me. And I was there all alone, looking around going, oh, someone invited me for dinner, oh, but they already left. So I was, well, what do I do? I'm kind of stuck at the hotel. I didn't want to eat a meal there. So I thought, well, I'll just walk a block away, find a restaurant, and do that. So I headed off on my own, on foot, to find a place to eat. I'm pretty good at being an introvert. I don't need to be around people all the time. So I use that time to reflect on the day and think about, you know, the beautiful weather I was having. It was a nice evening, and it was fine. But I felt a little disappointed that I didn't have a chance to connect with other people on Monday evening. Well, Tuesday night, I was invited to join a group for dinner, and I said yes. There were 10 of us, and we went to this St. Louis barbecue place, and it was really fun. There's a lot of great conversation and laughter and just sharing life together. Other pastors were meeting with me there. And then after dinner, I came back to the hotel, and there was my Arizona pastor friends. There are three of us at the gathering this time, and I thought I should go say hi to them, and I spent another couple hours visiting and laughing and having conversation with them. Now, the comparison between Monday night and Tuesday night couldn't be more contrasting. Life is better when we're connected. Life is better when we're connected to other people. And today I want to talk about that fourth value that we have, that core value as a church, that reminds us that we are connected. We are connected to God and connected to each other. That's who we are. It's part of our DNA as a church. We've been talking about these four core values over the past 4 weeks, that we are Christ-centered, first of all, that we exist to grow his kingdom in our lives and in our worlds. That's why we are created. That we grace it up, that we're people of forgiveness, and that gives us joy to share grace and forgiveness and love to others and to ourselves. Last Sunday, we talked about we glorify God. Our worship is sacred, participatory, and musical, and Pastor Tom Ashbrook shared the message last Sunday, and that we see Christ in one another. And we're not passive receivers of God's glory, but we are a part of it. We're caught up with Christ in worship and music. And our final core value today is life is better connected, meaning we connect people to God and one another. Anyone here remember watching the Jetsons? Okay, kind of shows your age a little bit, but I certainly remember watching Saturday morning cartoons, and the cool thing about the Jetsons is they had video calling, and I was like, that would be so awesome if we could have video calling, not just talking on the telephone, but actually seeing the person through the screen, and here we are in 2023. We have not only video calling, we have shopping online. We can get stuff quicker than ever before. We don't even have to leave our home. It'll deliver to us. We have, it's like just easy as a touch of the button. We have smart TVs. We have smart homes. We have smart cars. We have smart towns. We have smart everything. We don't even have to be home, and we're connected to our devices remotely. You can do a call or work from home or work remotely almost anywhere in the country as long as you have a cell phone signal. We're wireless. We can contact people through a letter, the old-fashioned way. We can send an email. We can go on social media and talk to people, text them, video call. The list goes on and on and on of all the ways that we can connect to another person. But are we actually better connected than we used to be? Are we actually better off by having all these devices and all these ways to connect? A report came out from the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine, which pointed out that more than one-third of adults age 45 and older feel lonely, and that nearly one-fourth of adults age 65 and older are considered to be socially isolated. Older adults are at an increased risk for loneliness and social isolation because they are more likely to face factors such as living alone, loss of family or friends, chronic illness, and hearing loss. Loneliness is the feeling of being alone, regardless of the amount of social contact. So you can even feel alone when you're around people. It's hard to measure social isolation and loneliness precisely, but there's strong evidence that many adults age 50 and over are socially isolated or lonely, which actually puts them at health risks. And this is what recent studies have found. Social isolation significantly increased a person's risk of premature death from all causes, a risk that maybe rival those of smoking, obesity, and physical activity. Second, social isolation was associated with about a 50% increased risk of dementia. Poor social relationships characterized by social isolation or loneliness are associated with a 29% increased risk of heart disease and a 32% increased risk of stroke. Loneliness was associated with higher rates of depression, anxiety, and suicide. And loneliness among heart failure patients was associated with a nearly four times increased risk of death, 68% increased of hospitalization, and 57% increased risk of emergency department visits. See why I say life is better connected? When we're connected to other people, when we have a relationship, which I'm going to talk about today, with God and with others, that is how it means to be better connected. And it's a beautiful thing to have a church, because here at church, you actually have, first of all, a lot of commonality. Because if you share a life in Christ and forgiveness and joy of Christ and being a Christian, man, that is a huge thing. Because then all kinds of other things you can find out about each other and realize that even if your family is not near, and many people here in Fountain Hills have that situation because they've moved from somewhere else or they live here seasonally and their family is back in the Midwest or up north or somewhere else. But in church, this can be a family. This can be your family when you're far away from your physical or relational family. And that's why being connected to God and others is our core value at Shepherd of the Hills. Psalm 1, which was read today, describes two ways, the ways of the righteous and the ways of the wicked. And these two ways really describe why and it's so important to be connected to God. The psalmist says, happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. In other words, don't take counsel and deliberations from wicked people. Don't take the path that sinners tread. And sinners are those whom evil is habitual, of whom wickedness is a way of life, or sit in the seat of scoffers, those who ridicule God and defiantly reject his laws. So reject those people. Avoid those people. Don't be a part of that. But then it goes on to say, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. So they let God's word impact them and get inside of them and shape and change them. And they're like this, like trees planted by streams of water that yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. Have you ever walked on the Overlook Trail? Just above the fountain, you can go to, it's a beautiful little trail. It starts, in a couple spots. One is by a parking lot on the one side of the lake, closest to my house. That doesn't help you. And the other side is kind of by the by one of the restrooms, right, if you turn onto the street there. And you get to the top of that, and you look out over the valley. You can see all of Fountain Hills and to the McDowells. And then on the other side, you can see into the reservation. And if you notice, there's this massive green patch by the river. The river, the Rio Verde, is running there, and the trees are green there. It's a flourishing place. That's what he's describing here. The trees planted by the streams of living water are flourishing and green. They produce fruit. We need water. Trees need water to survive. And life is better connected. When we're connected to God, that's the description of what our life looks like. Flourishing, fruitful, abundant. It's a powerful image that anchoring our lives in the Word of God is delighting in it, meditating on it, like ruminating. That's what a cow does by chewing its cud several times before it swallows to one of its stomachs and then back up again. That's ruminating on the Word of God, letting it impact us. To follow God in His Word, which means we also need that, it also means that when we don't, to confess and turn from our sin and come back to God to receive a clean heart. That's what we do every Sunday in confession. And also when we receive forgiveness through communion, we get a new start. But God doesn't just care about us being connected to Him. He wants us to be connected to our neighbor. And how we treat our neighbor is a big part of that. Leviticus has some pretty harsh words about how we treat one another. It says to be holy, God says, because I am holy, which means don't pervert justice. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. Do not seek revenge. Do not bear a grudge. That's a wonderful place to live, where you are not looking out how you can take advantage of another person, but you're looking for what's going to increase and empower their life to be better. And then Jesus, I love how Jesus does this. He gets this pointed question, which was supposed to trap him. If you recall what was said in the Pharisees or the Sadducees couldn't get under Jesus' skin. So the Pharisees come after him, and a lawyer poses the question, Jesus, what's the most important law? And in his wonderful and amazing way, he takes the entire Bible and he says, if you want to boil it down to two things, love God, love people. Love people, love your neighbor as yourself. But what does that look like? What does that love look like that's loving another like yourself? Well, in today's gospel, it ends with that verse that says, on these two, loving God, loving your neighbor as yourself, hang all the law and the prophets. Within the Sermon on the Mount, which is in chapter 7 of Matthew, he makes a distinction also that says all the law and the prophet hangs on this. We often call this the golden rule, where he says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. So love your neighbor as you would love yourself. Now, this isn't a narcissistic kind of me first sort of love. It's because acknowledging because actually narcissists can't love, honestly. They can only love themselves. But this is thinking about, I want to treat others the way that I would like to be treated. We started a ministry to the school that meets here during the week, the Inspiration Academy. It's on Thursday mornings at 9:30, called Elevate. And the first thing that I wanted to help the students understand is a rule for living, a rule for life together as a school. And we put a little sign up in the fellowship hall, and it says this, the Holy Lutheran Church, where's Holy Lutheran Church? That's where I used to serve. I just put HLC because it was the HLC rule too, but it's also the Shepherd of the Hills rule. Everyone is to treat everyone else as a child of God. No one has the right to treat another person as if they do not matter. That's the rule. Everyone is to treat everyone else as a child of God because no one has the right to treat another person as if they do not matter. That is a wonderful rule to live by. Think about, what does it mean to the golden rule? Well, it's to treat people as I want to be treated, but it's to treat them as a child of God. Now, do we know that they're a child of God? Yes. God calls all of us his kids. Do they know God yet? Maybe not. But us treating them in an honorable way may help them and will help them understand the God of love. So what is love? What does it mean to love your neighbor? Well, love is listening. I think listening first. Love is when you can tell your story to another person, and it may not even be all the high points or the good points, right? It can be the hard points. It can be the difficult things, the shameful things that you've done. And love is that person staying with you and not running away from you. So you tell them a failure you've had, or you tell them a difficulty or a struggle you're having, and they don't go, oh, nice to know you, see you later. But they actually say, I'm sorry to hear that, or tell me more, or that must have been very painful. Love is when you tell your story to another person and they stay with you. That's what is real. That's a real loving relationship. Listen to K-Love Radio, and I'm sure many of you do as well. It's a wonderful Christian station playing upbeat music, and this week they were highlighting an interview with Dennis Quaid, the actor. I'm sure you've heard of him or know him. He's been in a number of roles. Recently, a lot of Christian movies like I Can Only Imagine. But he was talking about his life because he's released a record, which I didn't know he even sang. But he talks about his life, and he was, when he went into the, entertainment industry and business, he was in a band, and he became so addicted to drugs that it basically had the band break up on account of him. He went and got help, he got treatment, and he freely talks about that, as well as how God speaks to us and works through us. And he says some things in the interview that people don't spotlight their weaknesses. You don't usually say, oh yeah, I'm a failure in this area, in this area, in this area. People usually talk about what they did well and their successes and their honor. But he said, and I believe and I agree with him, that showing our scars makes us human. Showing our wounds and sharing those with safe people makes us human. We're not perfect. Sometimes we act like it, but that turns people off to who we are because church isn't a fellowship of the strong. It's actually a fellowship of the broken, the forgiven. Because just because people may be embarrassed to talk about their weaknesses doesn't mean that we shouldn't, because that makes us actually compassionate and understanding them even better. Once you're baptized doesn't mean you're going to be never sinning again. You're going to be a perfect person. It's when you give it all to Jesus and he says, I've taken care of that. That's how we experience heaven on earth, is living forgiven. Sin is wiped away by Christ and the Holy Spirit is given to us. That's what the key story is in the prodigal son. The story where the boy wanders off and leaves his dad, wishing him dead, and takes his money and spends it in loose living and then comes back and he's welcomed home. But who has a hard time with that? The older brother. The older brother who's been the diligent one staying with his father this entire time. And we find out that the younger one's the favorite. The one who actually went off and came back living honestly. That's revealing himself to another person. That's what it is to love, soul to soul. In fact, having a relationship is really defined in this way. If you reveal yourself to another person and they reveal themselves to you, that's what it means to have a relationship. And just like everybody else, I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. I need to have people that will stick by me and not run away if I fail and when I do. This great commandment, love God, love people, is so important. Life is better connected to God and to people. And that's not only the promise of the gospel, it is the reality that we experience, because we all know what it's like to be connected and not to be. If you're feeling today quite isolated, you know, there are a lot of people here who are friendly people, to risk a little bit, to talk, to share, and even come this afternoon to our social. And one thing that you can think about is, how do you start a good conversation? Well, have a good question in your back pocket. Like, what'd you think about being an adult would be like when you were a kid? That's a weird question. That would think about a lot of things. And then how wrong were you thinking about that? But just think about a question that you might have that's beyond who won the game and how's the weather. It's a reality of the here and now that connectedness makes us stronger, better. It staves off isolation, depression, loneliness, and all the health risks that accompany being disconnected. Life is better connected. Jesus modeled that. There's one instance in the gospel in Luke 6 where Jesus went off by himself. It's before he appointed the 12 apostles. It's Luke 6, 12 to 20. And he had communion with God. He prayed with God. He sought God's insight. So he was loving God in that. And then he came out of his place of prayer and he selected the 12 apostles. And he selected them by name, Matthew, John, you know, all of them, Peter. And then he even selected Judas. You ever think about that? He came out of prayer and he selected someone in his tight circle that was going to be the one who betrayed him. You know, there's no guarantees that when we connect to other people that they're all going to be great people that love us. But we learn also from even the pain of life. And then from that, after he goes communion with God and he has connection with other people, that's when the ministry begins. So you got to have both. You got to be communing with God, connecting to others, and that's what empowers us to go out for ministry. So these four values, these core values I've been highlighting, describe who we are as a body. We're Christ-centered. To exist to God's Christ kingdom in our lives and this world, we grace it up. We live from God's forgiveness, so our joy spills over to others. We glorify God. Our worship is sacred, participatory, and musical. And our final value is life is better connected. We connect God. We connect people to God and one another. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are not isolated beings. In fact, being isolated, being lonely, it was never your intention, and it has a lot of negative ramifications on our lives. Lord, help us if we're feeling alone or afraid or untrusting to find safe people who could be for us a community. Lord, we thank you for Shepherd of the Hills. We thank you that your love for us is holding us as a church, as a body, that you help us. And we pray, Jesus, that you would help us to show and be one for another, people that are connected and safe. And Lord, when trouble arises, that we wouldn't run away from this community, but we would run to it, because we know here are people that listen and love and hold us and help us. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name, and we thank you. In your name, amen.